This is University Radio Nottingham.
We are talking about the Qatar World Cup. We are 3 days away from the first game. Qatar kicking things off. Who is their first game against? Who's Qatar's first game against?
Their first game is Ecuador.
Ecuador. So probably Ecuador are going to win that because Qatar...
Actually, I watched something recently. Qatar have been putting a lot of work into their team. And recently they won the Asian... I think it's the Asian Cup and the Youth Asian Cup.
Yeah, I heard about that.
So they've actually... quietly got a team that could do all right in the groups. I still don't expect they're going to act in groups, but it wouldn't be a completely out of the water proposal to suggest second for them.
Okay, I was going to say I can't actually remember what group they're in.
Top of Group A because
they're the hosts. Yeah, so Group A is also Ecuador.
I think the Netherlands, and the Cruisers there, and then can't remember who else was in that. It might have been Costa Rica.
So, you see, I would back Costa Rica and Ecuador still over Qatar, personally. Ecuador, I can think of... Certainly,
don't say it. Oh, what's his name? I feel like, is there one called... I wouldn't say it is Quiero, but I think that's right.
Yeah, I don't know if he's, like, Venezuelan, though.
I think he's Venezuelan.
Yeah, but no, there is a Brighton player.
Who's the Ecuador player who I'm thinking of who's famous? Not Brighton. Quite, like, I don't know if it's coming to my mind. We should probably have thought about this before.
We probably should. But anyway, that's not the news of the day. Qatar's fixtures for the World Cup, not what we're here to talk about. What we are going to talk about is the problems. And that is an insurmountable amount of problems. That probably doesn't make any sense, but still. So, the first one I want to touch on, we're going to sort of ease our way into it before we get to the very heavy-hitting stuff and a few sort of individuals from our very own country that are not helping the situation in any way, really, or maybe that's up for debate. But the first one is, so, we know there's been a possible, I think the numbers I've seen range between 6 and 15,000 deaths.
Yeah.
So, because there's a massive question mark over how many people have actually died in the construction of the stadiums and whether it's slave labour and things like that. We obviously know that their human rights laws in Qatar are more old-fashioned than the drink that Jake is going to order at Mooch Live later, because he loves an old-fashioned. I've just made that up, but it was a good pun.
We'll take it.
Yeah.
Superb, Jack.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Next time, maybe more old-fashioned than my favourite cocktail. That's probably a slightly better way to...
Oh, yeah, that is good.
Thoughts for next time.
Yes. But something seemingly so harmless resulted in a massive little bust-up that happened. I don't know if any of you guys did see this. A crew of Danish reporters were at the SR... Not at the SRA. we're reporting around one of the facilities, I assume probably where the Danish team are staying. It wasn't sort of any just sort of independent YouTube or anything like that. Full on Danish news TV.
And they were live as well.
They were live. And midway through, a security golf cart full of Qatari officials and security speeds in, stops basically with a handbrake turn. People jump out, and they are the presenter and cameraman, and I'm going to guess probably a producer as well, all threatened, as is their equipment. They're told that we'll break the camera and do all this kind of stuff. They produce and, like, immediately produce the official accreditation to prove that they are not just some random YouTuber or something, and are there officially reporting back live to Denmark. Oh my god, I'm so tired.
What's funny about that, though, is that it starts off the clip with the Danish presenter going, we're hearing about these sort of, you know, issues in Qatar with sort of, you know, press freedom and sort of civil rights. And what can you talk to us about that? And then literally on cue, they speed in to shut down the broadcast. It's probably the best example they could have given. Like, there was evidence right there of just how, like, just the level
it's
of...
honestly almost comedic timing. Like, it's perfect how well they've just set it. It's literally like a setup. It isn't, and it makes it so much worse, because if it was a setup, okay, that would be pretty funny. But it's so bad because it's absolutely not. That just is the case now, and that's really genuinely quite scary at the lack of free speech available.
So the Qatari officials, the World Cup board, I'm pretty sure the Qatari government as well, have issued a thorough apology to the Danish news station. However, all they were doing was reporting. All they were doing was hosting a TV show that's not something that's against their... Obviously, there's some stricter laws than we often experience in quite a lot of European countries and America and stuff, in terms of, you know, what they can actually say. But they weren't saying of anything particularly unsaid.
There was nothing... That,
new.
There was nothing that was going out that wouldn't have been allowed.
Yeah.
Like they, yeah, they didn't say anything that wouldn't have been completely fine to say on air as a Qatari... So it just very much looks like shutting it down for the sake of shutting it down, and that looks really, really bad on the Qatari government.
It does. Yeah. And so sort of the worrying sign is, obviously, the fact that this isn't necessarily something we actually thought was going to be a problem. There are plenty of things that we think might be a problem, but that wasn't one of them. Is that an initial warning sign that, oh, no, we, you know, people have gone in with the... Listen, they're human rights laws. We all know that... They're wrong, but some people are going in with, yeah, but it's the World Cup. Like, it probably won't happen. You know, there'll probably be a few kind of cringe moments where you're a bit worried, but probably nothing will kick off. Is this a warning sign of the complete opposite and things are going to, you know, is it going to be an absolute disaster? Oh, make some predictions, not the kind of predictions we want to be making about a World Cup, but still.
I think there will be some controversy. Because especially like with the Danish, they weren't YouTubers, they were reporting. So I think there will be some kicking off. Hopefully, because it's a World Cup, they might die down a bit, but I think there will be some, hopefully not bad, but controversy, yeah.
Yeah, so on to more of the actual, more, well, I don't want to say serious, because being threatened is obviously very serious, but... we'll talk about the LGBTQ plus stuff, which is one of the main things that people, and rightly so, are up in arms about. The fact that Qatar have been awarded this World Cup, the fact that it's actually going ahead, and the fact that a lot of nations are doing their own gestures to say, we are playing in this, but we still, you know, want to show that our nation supports these things. So, again, the Danish national team, they're... basically just completely red and white kits. Or is it red and black? I can't remember. I think it's red and black.
Red and white.
So their kits, their logo, no sponsors. I'm pretty sure, not even sure their shirt numbers, how probably they'll have to be visible for referee things.
They do have to be visible, but other than that,
but there's certainly
so minimal. It's a really nice kit, actually.
Yeah, it is. It does look nice.
It's a really nice kit.
But they have obviously dulled, because they don't want their national crest being associated with something, so... problematic and controversial, and rightly so.
I heard Denmark have been banned from wearing human right. We support human right on their shirts.
I think certainly, I remember hearing similar about Denmark, and I think there's a few other teams who are planning on doing the same. Lots of teams planning on not specifically protesting, but making some sort of a stand. So it will be very tense, to say the absolute least, even on game day when people are in the stadiums and hopefully not being rowdy, it'll still be extremely tense.
Yeah.
So, sorry, Will, go on.
No, so let's be honest, though. It's like, it's all, I mean, you know, good for Denmark and, you know, whatever. I'm sure that Harry Kane, because they wore...
They're wearing the rainbow armbands.
They're wearing the rainbow armbands. Well, didn't they do that in the Euros as well? I remember, was it the semi-final?
I think they've worn them quite a few times.
Well, they certainly usually do for Pride.
So I remember him there, it was Kane and Neuer, I feel like both wore them for the when England played Germany in the quarterfinal last year. But let's be honest, it doesn't really go far enough, does it? Because it's been more than a decade since we found out that Qatar was going to host the World Cup. And really, a lot more could have been done. And I think you get to a point now where it's like, oh, we're gonna put a rainbow armband on, and it's gonna improve the lives of, you know, the LGBTQ community in Qatar, like, to no end.
I would like to say, though, you say because it has been over a decade, obviously so much should have been done. But even in the UK a decade ago, we were in a very different position in terms of the acceptance of the LGBTQ community. And, you know, we're one of the most, you know, relatively most liberal countries in that aspect in the world. Obviously, the government's making certain changes that may or may not reflect the views of the population. But we are, by and large, a pretty accepting country, but we haven't been for very long. It's probably the last 5-6 years where we've definitely got a lot better. But even before that, we weren't amazing. So you wouldn't have expected much done at all then.
From
so
then,
it's only really the last probably 5 years or so that anyone would have considered doing a lot. And so, to a degree, I'm not that surprised, unfortunately.
I agree, but the only thing I would say is, in the sense of I think it goes far. I mean, the reasons why Qatar is so unfit to host the World Cup go far beyond just the LGBTQ rights. You can push it to the human rights. You can push it to the fact that why on earth would you play a World Cup in a country where it's the coldest days are 35 odd degrees? Yeah. It's practically. I mean, it's a tiny country. They had no stadiums. Most of the fan zones are still being finished this week. It's just like a. I mean, it. Obviously, we should say before, you know, the allegations of corruption in the way that they got the World Cup are allegations. But, I mean, who in FIFA ever thought practically it was a good idea to host the World Cup in a country that has no interest in football? And I'm not saying that from a perspective of we should only host in a sort of westernised perspective, we should only host the World Cup in countries that, you know, a big football playing nations, but like logistically, and it's not built for it. And there's been a lot of a push to the Middle East in terms of boxing. I remember there was the Cricket World Cup got played there last year.
Well, you've had F1s recently moved out there as well.
Yeah.
So there is definitely a more push for sports there, but it feels like it's more of a money grab than actually trying to get those cultures and those countries involved, unfortunately.
Definitely.
Like,
and I think it's a perception thing. They want to be thought of, oh, they're the country where that World Cup was, or where that, yeah, or where
if it goes
Fury
well,
fought someone, or where that F1, yeah, whereas if they don't want to be thought
Qatar,
of as the oil.
Qatar will be like, oh yeah, we're the country that held the 22 World Cup and it went really well, instead of we're the country that has minimal human rights laws and has anti-LGBTQ laws and had, you know, thousands of workers die over the World Cup. So if it goes well for them, they'll be really happy and they'll publicise that. But we need to make sure, as the general populace of the world, that that isn't the case. However, obviously, it still very much looks like this is a cash grab, this is a reputation changer for them in their eyes. And unfortunately, as Will says, I don't think that's the reason at all that the World Cup should be held there. Yeah. It should be held somewhere, partly, again, that has the resources and the environment for a World Cup, and partly somewhere that already is a decent country. Why would you want to hold it in a place where it's so discriminatory that it feels like, just talking about it, people are scared about going over, it's controversial for some of the countries to be sending their teams. We shouldn't have to worry about a country sending their team to play there, but with this World Cup, people are genuinely worried about some of their teams going out there, and that is utterly ridiculous.
So what I did want to touch on with the rainbow armband specifically is, I think quite a lot of European and more sort of, I'm not even going to say Western countries, just countries outside of Qatar, yeah, have all been sort of given the option by their FAs and respective agencies to wear sort of rainbow laces, rainbow armbands, have some kind of symbol that to say, we don't agree with these things, we're the players and we're being sent to play here. We can't, like, because you don't say no, maybe we'll come on to that in a bit, to play for your nation. But there are certain captains, most notably Hugo Lloris, the French captain, who is electing to not wear one out of respect for the religion that the Qataris believe in, because it is probably worth saying that their religion isn't the problem, because I'm sure there are plenty of people in that religion that probably don't, you know, wouldn't be themselves a member of the LGBTQ one. Probably that doesn't apply to everyone.
So I'm a Muslim myself, but I believe in like LGBT. Like, I don't discriminate against them, and I think a lot of the Middle East do. So it's kind of painting a bad image for Muslims, because most of us that live here are very, like, we don't care. We think everyone should love whoever they want to love, be whoever they want to be, and there shouldn't be any discrimination about it. And also, basic human rights is like a law in Islam, so like, they're not even doing that. So it's just kind of putting a bad image against Muslims, I think.
I was going to ask as well, so there's an issue in Christianity about different readings of the Bible, as the original Greek spoke about, I think, not quite the direct quote, but similar enough, is a man shall not lay with boy as he does woman, which is against paedophilia, but then was mistranslated to man shall not lay with man as he does woman in one of the later translations, which led to a lot of homophobia, but the original was against paedophilia. I was going to ask, is there a similar line in any Muslim texts, in the Quran or otherwise? Because I'd known as much about the human rights one, but is there something similar?
Yeah, so there is man shouldn't lie with man. It does explicitly say there is a whole chapter about it. But it's like how by the book you go. So I think with some Christians, they go by the books. With others, so it's like different religions go by different, like different people. So it depends what scholar you follow. It's like who you follow, who what they say. So like who I follow, they're like, you should love whoever you love and you shouldn't discriminate. But there is...
That was just a genuine question.
No, honestly, I get that,
So unfortunately, I think that does make sense as to why it may be the case as a law in some countries. But also, as you say, if there's other scholars who preach love, that generally would seem in my eyes to be probably the nicer route, if I was going to take a view on that one.
This is URN.